love me, yeah they love me. First love yourself. For that, and God we trust. Trust me, I don't trust myself. Your jewelry, I get it too.
Welcome back to It Is What It Is. This episode is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. The app is an easy way to make some cash just by making picks on your favorite players. Underdog is available in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, and New York, just to name a few. Make sure to support the show by hitting the link in the bio and downloading the Underdog Fantasy app. They'll also match your first deposit up to $100, and you get a special pick when you sign up. I'm Treasure Wilson, a.k.a. Stat Baby, along with your host Cam and our analyst Maurice.
Stat, Mo, what's up, baby? What's good, man?
Good. Everything, what's going on?
Appreciate it, yo. Thanks for filling in for me the other day, man. People loved you. I got a good lot of great responses. We got to get your show up and running. What we doing, man? Listen, a lot of people ask me real quick. Because niggas, I don't know if niggas think I'm Superman, if I can stick a gun in niggas. I don't know. I offered Maurice his own show about 4 or 5 months ago. He told me he's going to get back to me and didn't get back to me. So all the fans is like, Cam, Mo is up there doing a good job. When you going to give him his own show? Listen, I offered him his own show. He didn't get back to me, but when he's ready, we're going to put it together. So our fans, listen, people, real quick, man. I take care of the people that work with me, man. I don't know why people be coming at me like this sometime, man. I put this whole shit together and everybody played their part. Everybody's put these bricks in this building to build it. I treat people good, man. I tried, Stat got a show, off of Mo a show. I try to get OJ a show. Everybody who helped us get where we at off of them a show, but Mo, they on my back because they talking about when you going to get Mo a show. So tell people no. I did offer you a show to put your thing together.
Yeah, no, so that is a fact, 100%.
Thank you,
and
man.
So, literally, out of respect, I was literally talking to my lady the other day, and, like, when you aesthetically look at y'all's show, and we had this conversation, I said, man, I think you have to build a somewhat of a professional set, right? It doesn't have to be crazy or not like that, but whatever space, you got to control it, have it, and it has to look right. That's just me. You know, you want something to look right, and you want to be, like, well thought out and get going, and so... That's on me. You know, I didn't follow up and get back with you, but 1,000% you said, hey, man, let's do a show together. And I have like some real good ideas on directions I want to take it, but 1,000% you did do that.
Thank you, man. And we're looking forward. Opportunity is still available whenever you're ready, man.
Yep. Okay, so we're going to start with Nick Saban. So he spoke at a congressional hearing about NIL. He said, all these things that I believed in for all these years, 50 years of coaching, no longer exist in college athletics. So he shared something that his wife said, where she said, all they care about is how much money you're going to pay them. They don't care about how you're going to develop them, which is what we've always done. So why are we doing this? Basically stating that NIL is making players only care about money. Do you guys find these comments by Nick Saban hypocritical, or do you think that this is a valid point?
Nah, you know, the first thing I'm going to say, that's a bunch of bullshit. And the reason I said I can sort of back it up, right? If you all remember back maybe week 2, 3, 4, 5, when we were talking about his buddy who was in Congress, who was fighting the NIL fight and trying to go for rule changes. And we were making jokes like, you know, he's Nick Saban's childhood buddy. And I'm pretty sure that somebody remembers that episode from way back when, and they can grab the congressional member's name or the senator's name who comes out of West Virginia. This was like the start of it all because he was probably getting Nick on the phone and Nick was seeing that the landscape was changing. He's seeing Deion Sanders plastered all over the TV, where traditionally for the last 10 or 15 years, he had always been the guy. And he just started to see that players now demand a level of respect, or they have negotiating power. And I've always said this like many moons before, that if you start off giving somebody nothing, when the person who's been getting nothing starts to ask for something very slavish, you'll think that these people are tripping when they start negotiating their value. And then when he tried to throw it on his wife, when he was actually talking to Congress and he threw it on his wife and like, oh, man, this thing isn't what it used to be. Like for the past 10, 15, 20, 30 years, Nick, these guys have been taking the field and they've only made you fortunes, right? They've put you in a position to buy Uber amounts of Mercedes dealerships, Ferrari dealerships. They've done right by you. You've done right by them. But there is no economic system in the world where you can put people to work or make them go to work where you generate billions of dollars where you're not compensated accordingly. And I just think it was a bullshit statement. His peers will respect him for saying that, and all the people who want the college system to stay in place the same way, they'll respect him. But where he'll lose respect and where I think it ultimately counts is the guys who he coached for his whole entire career. Dudes will sit back and say, motherfucker, you got some nerve. You've made tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars off of us and off of our labor. And now that these guys want to negotiate a different position or get value for what they want to do, now you want to shame us at the highest level. You're almost like you're really cheating. You're getting out of the stage of college football. You're walking on to from a legislative standpoint. You're going to speak and woo guys in this legislative body to leverage your power to suppress the guys who basically make you who you are. And I really don't respect it. And, you know, I'll wait to hear from y'all. But that was like my thoughts on that whole Nick Saban situation.
Look, I couldn't have said it better. That's what I was going to say, actually, is that, oh, after you made your tens of millions of dollars, you're complaining. It's because you can't control niggas no more, because not only NIL money, niggas don't got to put up with it for 4 years like they had to. So, you know, you get there, you get to school, they woo you when you're in high school. You're going to be the man. Look, we're going to do this for you. You're going to do that for you. You're going to get this many touches. You're going to get this many snaps, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it doesn't go like that for every player that they recruit. Now you're stuck there 4 years. So now not only are you getting NIL money, and that's a problem for Nick because niggas is making money. Also, you could get out of there. You could jump in the portal. So now you sitting there saying, this nigga came to my house and told me and my parents some bullshit. I was going to be that nigga. I didn't play half the season. I didn't get the snaps I was supposed to go to. Matter of fact, I'm going to LSU. I've been talking to them niggas anyway. I'm going to give them niggas a shot. So not only are you getting NIL money as far as colleges are concerned, you don't even have to stick around anymore at the school you were at. So Nick Saban, this is beyond his control, and he can't figure it out. I got friends like that when it comes to music, and not necessarily friends per se. I have people that I know or that I used to be cool with or whatever kind of relationship you want to have me, say me and them have at the moment. But they can't figure streaming out. You know, when CDs went out of style, they like, all this streaming shit, they niggas got to pay $8 for the month. I remember the CD cost $8. And you know, it was $19.99 for the CD. Now, streaming $8, you get all the motherfucking music, and we ain't even making no money. And I get them to a certain extent, and I understand it, but you're not figuring out how to move forward because we're not going back to CDs. I mean, you could, if you want to play it on your PlayStation or you want to be nostalgic or if you want to buy a record player and say, oh, I got some nostalgia, et cetera, et cetera. But just not figuring out how to work with the new world. You're just complaining about what used to be instead of figuring out how to maintain in the new world. And when it comes to Nick Saban, he made so much money that he like, whatever, I'm tapping out. I'm not even going to try and figure it out. I don't give a fuck. I'm good. And now I'm going to sit here and complain about how kids are making money and they're not learning and they're not putting the practice in and so on and so forth. And want to downplay everything when the light is starting to shine on Deion Sanders and others. And yeah. I'm not just saying Deion because we know Deion, but Mo, you sent me something yesterday where, and I'm not sure what we're talking about on this show, but how 50% more students are black going to Colorado this year or something. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I remember last year, I think the town that school was in was like 1% black, but because Deion is there and the attention is there and it's not necessarily on the schools that used to be, you got a problem with that. Instead of saying, you know what? I'm gonna compete. I'm gonna figure this shit out. Fuck that. And I'm not accusing Mike Krzyzewski of that because Mike Krzyzewski, also, Nick Saban, they're in their 70s. They're getting older, and the game is changing. But they like, yo, man, I ain't trying to figure this out. Like, I give Coach Calipari, and when I say Mike Krzyzewski and Coach Calipari, I'm referring to college basketball at the moment. Because Calipari been dealing with one-and-dones for like 10 years now, if not longer. He been having to deal with niggas. He know they're coming for 1 year, and they're leaving, and he may not want a bunch of championships, but he figures out how to try and stay ranked, how to stay relevant, how to stay in position to stay on television, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's the game we in. Even with Mike Krzyzewski, to my opinion is, okay, he was getting older, et cetera, but a lot of people used to go to Duke and stay the full 4 years. The full 4 years, you know. You could date back to, you know, in the 90s, a lot of people stayed 4 years, but I'm talking about Duke was a school that you went to and you was like, yeah, I'm going to commit here 4 years. To even to the point where Zion wanted to stay at Duke for another year to try and win Mike Krzyzewski a college title. But Mike knew what was going on. He said, get out of here, man. Go to the NBA, man. They will love you. You're going to be the number one pick. Go get your money. So I respect Mike Krzyzewski to that point because he's like, he's seen the writing on the wall. But you don't see him doing a bunch of interviews running around complaining and shit like Nick Saban has been doing. Nick Saban has been running around complaining since last fucking year about, oh, they paying the players $1 million to go there. And if they find an illegal way to do it, then they could do it. It ain't like they cheating. It ain't like it's under the books. They're finding out how to get players money. And he was absolutely wrong about that situation. But yo, you're sounding like a grumpy old man. Just you left and you're still complaining? Stop, bro. Stop. Now you want to shit on the whole college system because you're not in it anymore and you want to find ways to pick it apart when you was very successful about it. Chill out, bro.
Honestly, I couldn't agree with both takes more, but I honestly don't even find a problem with players only caring about money, if that's what he wants to call it, because a football career isn't even guaranteed. I feel like they should take the opportunity to seize that moment, especially if a lot of eyes are on them. Make as much money as you can. Profit off of being your own self, regardless of just being an athlete, because some people don't make it to the league. So if they're making millions off NIL in college, let them make millions and then take that money and do whatever they want to do after the fact. So Nick Saban going back and forth with everybody about it after, like you guys said, making his own money is giving very much haterish. So he got to chill out. He got to chill out.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, if he would have said it one or two times, cool. You like, this is almost a year, bro. Yo, relax. Nobody's even playing college football right now. Like, yo, bro, it's March Madness. Guys.
But I really believe it bothers him because for so long, the coaches, like the Bobby Knight era, the coach was the main thing, right? And that's what everybody talked about. And the ascension of a person's success went through all of these years of coaching. And personally, I really believe, and they can say whatever they want to, but Deion disrupted college football. I don't give a fuck if people say, man, y'all need to get off of him, whatever. He has. He's changed the industry, right? And when I think that he sees people come in the industry like this, and remember, don't forget this. Remember, he stole Travis Hunter from Nick Saban. Travis was getting ready to go down to Alabama. Then he took him and he went to Jackson State first. And that's when he really started bitching and complaining. And then from there, you know, you'll see Warren Sapp go up there to Colorado with him. And you start to see that the value that you have from being a person, or like you can take it to music, like where a record label probably meant something at some point, and then a record label doesn't have the esteem that it used to have to. Now you have to transition, right?
Yep.
And it's the same thing with him. He doesn't know how to have this transition, but he think it's belittling to him and his legacy to have to negotiate money with a kid. So you try to say, hey, man, these kids don't hold the same values that I have. And that's bullshit because I've been to all of these schools talking, working with players. And when somebody brings me to their school, they basically say, man, we got some niggas here that we want you to talk to that we don't know how to talk to. And I was in Alabama, right? And so I've seen the niggas come out that program. And with all due respect to them, these niggas uneducated, just niggas who want to play football. You feel where I'm coming from? And so the holistic point of like making sure that these kids are well taken care of and well educated, y'all been not giving a fuck. That's why you put them in basket weaving and bullshit 101 and you shuffle them down the road. Those are like my underlying frustrations because I've been through it. So don't get up here and leverage your celebrity even more and push down these people who made you. Sometimes you just step away and say, hey, man, I don't want to participate in what's going on right now. I'll let the thing be what it is. I'll enjoy my legacy. The game has changed. You know what I'm saying? And that's where, like, that's my Nick Saban problem. And I don't know. It just, it, like what Stat said, I'll leave it at that. It just throws off all your hater vibes.
Yeah. Agreed. Okay, so moving along, Aaron Rodgers is in some political troubles with a lot of people after people are accusing him of making Sandy Hook conspiracy theories in private conversations. In response, he said, "As I'm on record saying in the past, what happened in Sandy Hook was an absolute tragedy. I am not and have never been of the opinion that the events did not take place. Again, I hope that we learn from this and other tragedies to identify the signs that will allow us to prevent unnecessary loss of life." Comment goes on, but what do you guys think about all the political attention that he has been getting recently as being a potential vice president running mate with Robert Kennedy Jr.?
Yeah, I said that nigga tripping, man. I don't know if you read the first article. The first one came when he was talking to like somebody back in 2012 or 13. And there was a reporter that he was saying that the Sandy Hook thing was a government organized event and that the people in it were actors and all type of other shit, right? And I always say this, man, and people think I be tripping sometimes. I think dudes become delusional in some regard when they reach all of the success and have all of the money that they've ever wanted. Like, they believe or begin to get into, like, weirdo shit, right? And when anybody start talking that conspiracy theory shit, like, I just think, like, they be whacked out, and I just don't think that they have, like, something real going on in their life. And I think it's case in point with him. He may be an amazing quarterback, but just some stuff I see that come out of his ecosystem, I was like, man, this dude kind of little, he'll weird on some level, right? And then there was another piece I thought about this. That may be a spokesperson speaking for him, because he really may, if it's not this year, next year, or be Robert F. Kennedy's running mate, there's other things that he wants to do. And when you take like a significant American tragedy, especially with these kids getting murdered, there's a lot of people who get triggered from that shit, right? And these people will show up to every event, sort of like motherfuckers with PETA and people who have like those crazed missions, and they'll remind you when you said some crazy shit. And so I think that's somebody in this PR camp, like, willing it back. But there's something more to my man Aaron. Like, God bless him, he had an amazing football career, but some of his, like, his point of views, and I remember the show from the other day I was talking about where he don't give a fuck. Like, you cannot give a fuck, but not giving a fuck still has to have some boundaries if you plan on being an American, being a capitalist, and, you know, getting your money from people and having fan bases and all that other stuff.
100% great take, and I totally agree with you. I really don't have a lot to say on top of it. It's just that I know people that's like Aaron Rodgers that really believe Sandy Hook didn't happen. I'm like, yo, bro, what the fuck are you talking about, bro? No, it's a conspiracy, this, that, and the third. And I'm like, yo, bro, I don't know what weed y'all smoking, what mushrooms y'all niggas taking. I'm just like, yo, my nigga, some things you should just keep to yourself. Even if you believe that, keep that shit to yourself. Some things you shouldn't say. And I'm not even talking about Aaron Rodgers. I'm talking about niggas I know personally who's into conspiracy theories and so on and so forth. And we actually posted that on the Is What It Is page about what we're talking about today, yesterday on our page about, yo, Aaron, you bugging the fuck out. And you'll see people in the comments agreeing with what Aaron Rodgers said about Sandy Hook. And you like, yo, what? Like I said, I'm not here to dive into conspiracy theory. This is more about what Aaron Rodgers said, and it's not really even a lot to it. Aaron Rodgers, you said it best, Mo. He has a lot of aspirations after football. That man hosted Jeopardy. He almost was the host of Jeopardy for a minute. And now he hosted Jeopardy for like a week when Alex Trebek died. So you could Google that. I think it was the host, and they was thinking about keeping him. He wants to do other shit outside of football. And when you're going to be a running mate, potential running mate for the vice president, you got to clean up all the mess you made. So when people, you say, yo, Mo, I don't even want to repeat what you said, but I would say the same thing. People are going to show up where you're at. People are going to cause a riot. If you sit there and run for president, you're going to lose votes in certain states. And people like Kennedy Jr. are going to be like, yo, I don't need this type of attention, man. Yo, this is crazy. I didn't know this was going on. And then they'll start curving you. I ain't know he said that. Nah, they can't run with me. When they see all the negative attention, that niggas will turn a blind eye to you and don't give a fuck about you. But I don't really have a lot to say on top of what you said. You said a great take, and I wouldn't have said it any differently. I just think this is a nigga cleaning a mess up who may be potentially running for vice president.
Yeah. I mean, all of it to me sounds like a mess because he's stepping into a completely different territory. So if, you know, say the presidential stuff doesn't happen and he does continue to play football, you've made statements that have got outside of the sports world and have put you in a different realm. And like, one, you're not only endangering yourself, you're endangering your team, because people do crazy, like people will ride off of things like this. People do crazy things. I would never want, you know, any situation to happen just because this man is just saying things. Whether he said it, whether he didn't, the conversation shouldn't even be happening right now. Like, I don't like to be like, oh, da da da, do your job. But it's like, you're a quarterback. Like, we're expecting you to be a quarterback. All this other stuff, unnecessary stuff. And I feel like this with, like, women having pregnancy, like, just a lot of situations, all that unnecessary stuff is not needed when we just want you to have a good game at the end of the day. And if that's not what you want, I think that's the decision that you need to decide if you want to continue to play or go a different route, because it's just so unnecessary and it's going a lot of different routes and you're messing with a lot of people. I just think it's got to stop, because all this crossover, I don't know how I feel about it.
See, my thing is, though, real quick, stat, and to bring it up, yeah. I have to bring it up now that you mentioned that, is that's how serious it is when you're running for vice president.
Yeah.
Like, these aren't new statements.
Yeah.
He said this a while ago. It wasn't like football didn't happen since he said this.
Right.
Nobody gave a fuck when it was football. But now you're diving into politics and it's coming back up. It isn't like he said this last night
right.
or the night before. This was months ago he said this shit. Football season was in. But now that it's political, niggas want to make a point about it. And I agree with you totally. Look, yeah. niggas want you to throw touchdowns, et cetera, et cetera. So when you said that about Sandy Hook and it was football season, they're like, nah, they still throwing touchdowns. Chill out. It don't even really matter. That's Aaron Rodgers. But now you diving into presidential shit, niggas like, hold up, man. Fuck you said about Sandy Hook. So that just goes to show when you're winning for your team or you're a superstar in the NFL, they'll brush certain shit under the rug. When it start getting political, they'll bring your pass back up.
Right. Crazy situation to be in. Aaron Rodgers, I don't know what's next for him. He's got a lot going on. I don't know. He has to solve it himself. Okay. Next question. What would it take for an international player to become an American star? So we've seen it in music. For example, Drake, you know, taking his popularity in the States. What would it take for an American sport for that to happen? Maurice first.
Yeah, I thought deep about this pause. And I was, it first started off when I was asking myself, like, why do you like American stars, right? And my conclusion or my thought that the reason that we fall in love with people is that we understand they're like their childhood story, right? And you understand, be it through high school, college, or whatever it is, when they get to the NBA, you kind of have like some background, right? And I was asking myself, when you look at Giannis and when you look at all of these other international stars or players or notable guys who are in the NBA now, and I said, what is the disconnect, right, that we don't fall in love with them or see them as somebody who's able to take over LeBron's role or who's ever like the next coming, right? And I thought to myself, to answer your question is, I think that you can make a star, but I think it's going to probably be 10 or 15 years out, and I'll support my point right here. And the reason I really believe it is that as the NBA expands and as these guys come to America and they become stars and they make all this money, right, I think you're going to naturally have the basketball that's promoted, that's developed over there in the whatever European leagues or wherever these guys come from. I think that's going to continue to get better because now these kids have like stars in the NBA that they can look to and say, hey, I want to be like, you know, whoever's come from my country or who's ever come from a league that I've played in. And those guys start to bring those guys back over there. But I also believe social media will help to make all of these places where these guys come from more visible. And I think that's the piece that's missing, right? I think you don't fall in love with the Greek Freak Paws or Luka or Wimby because you don't see them until it's time for these guys to get drafted. So you have no emotional tie. And so I believe like that, right? I think music is a bit different because music doesn't have boundaries now and you listen to it and you consume it in a thousand different ways. And I think that like Drake makes good music, but I think he also that kind of sits in a different box. But I think with sports in particular, I think you have to know stuff about people. And I think as they're making the game more like internationally based, I heard Gilbert Arenas said the other day, he was like, I think the league has gotten softer to open up the league to European players, because I really believe like Adam Silver and who's ever board of directors or whoever they may be, I really believe that these people believe that the ball that's being developed overseas is a lot better than AAU basketball. And so I think that you shift, like you'll always get your American players just because you always have talented guys. But as you're trying to expand, like your distribution, your TV rights, the brand in general as the NBA, I think that it can happen, but I don't think it's happening anytime soon.
Ask the question to me so I just make sure I answer it correctly.
Yeah. So basically, what would it take for an international player to be an American star? So to gain that popularity over here, not just where they are based.
And just so I'm clear, playing over there or playing wherever?
I think like playing wherever. Yeah.
Once you pop in America, you could pop back home. That's how it go. Dead ass. Like, I fuck with some niggas back in the days named SAS from London. They were some rappers. I signed, no, not just me. I'm not going to sit and act like it was me. But Jim Jones had discovered, and Juelz, to be totally honest with you, had found these guys, SAS from London. They was Bloods. I didn't even know at the time it was Bloods in London. This was years and years ago. And they had visas. They was coming to America, not just with us. They worked with Dame Dash as well. And they was hot. These niggas was nice, bro. They had the London accent, but they was spitting. These were my niggas, too. These are my homeboys. And they was starting to get notoriety with us. We was building Dipset. You know, it wasn't their turn to come yet. Pause. It wasn't their turn to, like, come out yet. But we was like, yo, these niggas is nice. We put them on a few different projects. And we was like, you know, their visas ran out. And they was catching cases over here and shit in America. And they had to go back. But I'm like, these niggas is nice. And I'm like, yo, why niggas don't fuck with you in London like how we fucking with you over here? And he said, Cam, my man Mayhem, that was one of the members' name. He was like, yo, they ain't never gonna fuck with us over there until they fuck with us over here. Once we pop in America, their niggas at home is gonna love us. I'm like, that's kind of fucked up. So you gotta think about this. It's a lot. Look at Joker, right? Joker almost didn't want to go to the parade after they won the championship. Denver Nuggets, that is. He like, parade in 3 days? No, 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 I got to get back home. Joker loves where he's from. He wants to be home. You think if the Joker couldn't make the same amount of money playing basketball at home that he wouldn't stay home? He would definitely stay home. He wouldn't come over here. If you're making the same amount of money here, at home, he would stay home. Same thing with Luka, same thing with everybody else. Them niggas know once you pop here, this is where it counts. A lot of people say this, and I'm not getting into no political shit. Only reason niggas ain't ride out on us yet, pause. I'm talking about other countries because we in debt like a motherfucker talking about America. It's because of our entertainment value. We have the best entertainment in the world. Whether it's sports, whether it's movies, whether it's TV, we are the capital of entertainment in the United States, in the world. You know, basketball games come on, niggas are staying up to 4, 5, 6 in the morning to watch the championship because the time difference, so on and so forth, to the point where they're trying to figure out how to put NBA teams in Europe and could we expand football teams in London. That's why every year they go over to London and play a couple games, football-wise or basketball-wise, mm-hmm. because if they could expand it, they could, but the time travel, et cetera, is just be too much for the players. They got NBA League in Africa right now, where J. Cole was playing, and they developing over there. We are the number one entertainment place in the world, and people know that. So the reason people come here is so they could go home and stunt. Yeah, yeah, nigga. You see, America love me, nigga. Fuck is you talking about? Them niggas love me, nigga. Y'all been acting funny? Because I'll go back to Milwaukee, Giannis voice. You know, yo, I know y'all acting funny. I go back to Dallas, where I'm Luka voice. You know what I'm saying? These niggas go home in the summertime. They don't want, not saying they don't like America and they don't like, these niggas want to go home. Same thing if you played in China, whatever professional sport, outside of Stephon Marbury, you know, he loves it over there. I'm just saying, niggas want to go home when they finish working, man. Niggas love home. So I think the answer to the question is, once you come here, you could pop shit at home. And that's why people come here to play more than anything else. And not only that, the money as well.
Right. We are now joined by Mace. So what do you think it would take for an international player to become an American star?
Wait a minute. Wait, Cam, what are you talking about?
What you talking about? What the fuck is you talking about? Let's do it. Yo, Let's rock out. Let's rock. What's good? What's good? What's good?
Pause. I come in listening to you.
What's good?
Talking ridiculous. Like,
what am I saying that's ridiculous?
Cam, you talking about like if these niggas can make the same money, they would stay home?
Yes.
You believe that?
They go home when there's no games going on. You ain't see when the Joker didn't want to stay for the parade, he was trying to go. Did you see the Joker here in America anytime in the offseason? Did you see him here? Did you see Giannis here in the offseason? Did you see Luka in the offseason?
If he could make the same money at home, he wouldn't make that money at home. That's like...
Nah, you not making no sense. You sound crazy. You're just trying to come in and get a soundbite. You sound crazy, though. You're not even making no sense. You sound wild. you sound wild, bro. Go ahead, make sense out of it. I'll give you a chance. I'll give you a second chance. Go ahead. I'll give you a second chance.
The first time, depending on who's listening, you know?
Everybody in the background laughing at you. I'm just giving you what's going on. I'm just telling you. Hey, what's going on? Tell me how I sound ridiculous. Go ahead. I want to hear this. Go ahead. I'm listening. Go ahead.
Yeah, if they could make this money at home, they would stay home. No, that defeats the purpose. They're not lit until they're lit in America. So even if they made the money at home, they wouldn't be lit in America. So you would still have the money, but you would kind of be corny. It's like a person who makes a lot of money, but they're not accepted where it really goes down at. Does that make sense?
The whole thing is you must have came in on the second part of what I was saying and not hearing the first part. I was describing a group called SAS that I had signed on my label and how when they Yeah. So you kind of slacking. You lacking right now.
No, I heard that. I know SGA.
But did you hear what I said about them?
Yeah, I did.
Then what are you talking about? I gave a nigga a chance.
It wouldn't matter until they made it in America.
Did I say that?
He said it.
I said that. Before I said the money shit, I said you gotta get lit in America before you get lit at home. I said this. You not listening. You just coming in trying to fuck with me because I look good. Pause. That's what's going on. Mo, I said that same thing you said. Yeah, good looking. Yo, did I say that, Mo? Didn't I say you not lit where you from till you get lit in America? Before the money shit, did I say that?
Yeah.
All right. I rest my case.
I agree with you then. I agree with you.
All right, cool. We good then. We good.
Okay, well, on that note, we're going to go to break. And when we return, we will talk about another star with a baby on the way. Don't go anywhere.
Who got a baby now?
Pink horsepower. She called this thing about toxic.
What's happening, baby? Baby, what's happening?
Why are you walking like that?
That's how I walk.
And then, like, you come on breathing on me like that.
I fucking breathe to live.
And, like, you used to be dark-skinned, and now you act like hella light-skinned.
Are you fucking blind? I'm dark-skinned. What the fuck?
And then, like, look at your beard.
The fuck is wrong with my beard?
Your beard looks
stupid. What the fuck are you talking about?
No, I don't even like it. The way you breathe in, all of that.
Has this ever happened to you? Your girl seems to be mad, angry, upset. She's frustrated. It's only one way to handle that. Pink horsepower.
No.
But your breath is really refreshing.
No.
I'm just trying to give you a massage. Plus, have I told you how good your beard looks lately? It looks so good.
No.
PHP. It works every time.
Wait, where are you going?
Welcome back. Now let's get into our underdog fantasy picks of the day. Tonight, Denver will play the Spurs. Underdog fantasy has Jokic at 46.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
Man, they might as well just say they got Joker for 70 out there. I mean, anything is doable with the Joker. Pause, for real. This is the first tricky bet, I think, by Underdog. I'm going to go lower.
I'm going to go lower for the simple fact I don't think he'll play in the end. I think that Denver realized what time of year this is, and they're not playing no games during down the stretch. I think that they're going to pull away from San Antonio early, and the starters aren't going to play that much in the fourth quarter, so I'm going to go low.
Okay. Jamal Murray is at 7 assists. Do you have him higher or lower, Cam?
Lower.
Mason? 7 assists, lower, yeah.
Okay, and Wemby is at 10.5 rebounds. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
10.5 rebounds. Higher.
Okay. Download the Underdog Fantasy app and you can make your picks too. So it's been a very baby-filled week. We've got a lot of, pregnancy reveals in the past couple of days. Trayvon Diggs' girlfriend, Joy Chavis, announced she is pregnant. Thoughts on the reveal? Maurice, I actually want you to go first. And then.
Yeah, well, I said, man, these older women got to figure it out, right? They fail initially, and then they find them young suckers, right? So she's definitely figuring it out.
Oh, they were failing with us.
so when you look at it, hey, the headlines say, she had a child with Future, and she had a child with Bow Wow. And now she's with this young brother. He was born in 98. She was born in 88. And you would have to think that she's strategically done this. And these young guys, I just think that they suckers for love. And I just be asking myself, how do you make that mistake? But, she may be doing something to the young dude that ain't been done before. And just making him feel better. But I just see like a broken heart in the near future.
Making them feel like, I can't lose when I'm with you. That's right. Is that the song, Stat?
Snooze, yeah.
Yeah. What does it say?
What's your thoughts, Stat?
I actually don't have much thoughts. Like, one, she's really pretty. Two, they're 10 years apart. I don't think that's that crazy. Three, she's unproblematic. They're both on their third child. Congrats. That's genuinely how I feel.
Hey, what y'all tell Mark Jackson? That's a very political answer.
No, that's
that feel like that. Yeah. To the camera off.
Nah, because like some other people you can tell, but like I genuinely like I don't even see a problem. Like she looks good. They look good together. That's that.
You said it's a third child. Who is her first two children with?
Bow Wow and Future.
Oh,
the reaction
goodness.
Was crazy.
You saw a killer face. I knew that was going to get
that. I didn't even know that.
That's why you got that.
I was going to get to it. I was waiting for you to go. Yeah, you want to go?
Hey, you go. You go. You seem to know what's going on.
I don't know. I just look, a lot of these topics, if it's not, to be totally honest with you, I look at the topics we get and I make sure I know when it's time to talk about games, stats, playoff picture, trades, free agency, everything analytically wise, I'm on point. I make sure I do. But a lot of times, when I look at certain topics that we have, I'm like, I'm not going to dive pause into it because I want to give my natural reaction if I don't have to do the homework or analytics. I'd rather give my real reaction on it is what it is instead of saying, let me give a fake reaction after I study it. So I sat there and seen the pregnancy joint. And I was like, I'm going to ask questions when I get up here because it isn't a stat situation where I got to debate Mace or Stat about teams or points or so on and so forth. This is just an opinionated situation. So I didn't dive into it. I was going to ask the questions when we got here. Now that I know the answers to the questions I was asking for, why do niggas is like, listen, man. Why? And I don't know. Maybe, you know, it's just me. I've never really been in the niggas' leftovers. I just never really been into leftovers. I don't like Thanksgiving on Sunday. I'm just not into that. You know what I'm saying? That's really, that's just not me.
That's
the killer, I know. You know what I'm saying? That's just not me. Now, don't get me wrong. You meet a chick with kids and just that, like, you know, I'm at an age, I ain't going to meet no virgin. And if I do, I don't want her. But that don't mean I want the bitch that was with this rapper or this basketball player or this person or that person or this person. You know what I'm saying? Like, honestly, when I meet a bitch and she in the mix, I'm straightforward. And I said, look, I may not care, but I like to be aware. Did you fuck anybody I may have knew or you think I might bump into? And depending on what they tell me, if it's somebody I know or whatever, I'll take the situation from there. Because I may not give a fuck. It ain't about who you fucked in the past or anything else. I just don't like being messy and mixy. I'm that nigga. So, and you hear a lot of time, they be like, yo, killer, you know I fucked her. Yeah, it's my go, nigga. It's my turn. You know, I don't really care about that. But when it starts getting mixy and messy, nah. Then when you ain't got no type, I lose respect for you. You get what I'm saying, Murder? You can't go from filet mignon to tuna fish. Now, don't get me wrong. You may not want filet mignon every night. Nigga like me, I can have a steak every night, but I want a bologna sandwich every once in a while. That's just me. You know what I'm saying? That's killer. So I'm just trying to say, when it's mixy and messy, I don't care. But when it's public shit, nah. And then you got to think about it, right? And I had a few females in my life that people know about. And a lot of times, if you don't know who they are, and then you know who they are because of me, you'll be like, yo, think about that, right? You'll be like, yo, look at Shorty. She over there with so-and-so. Who that? I'm just using fake names right now. Yo, that's Tamia. Yeah. That's Tamia. What she do? Yeah. What she do? Oh, no, that's Camo joint. Oh, okay. That's where niggas know you from. Just don't know you from nothing else but being my old joint. And then the next nigga get excited about that. Nah, I'm with Kim old joint. Nah, it's killer old joint right there. That's my shorty now. What she do? Nah, it's Kim old joint. I ain't into that. You know what I'm saying? I ain't into that, man. That's why I'm saying with Stat, I get an opinion. But once you got Bow Wow and Future, and you don't know who she dated, this is just the babies. I can't get with that publicly on that level because it's a celebrity thing. Like, da-da-da-da-da. You know, I can't do
that. But can she her in her defense, can't she meet a Russell Wilson? Because Ciara dated Bow Wow in Future.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And as well, Russell Wilson's out here. He wanted them. You know? They could go to dinner, both of them niggas, and have combos about it. Yeah, we got Bow Wow and Future old joints, right? You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm trying to say. This is exactly what I'm talking. You're right, Murder. They should all go to dinner and have a convo. Them niggas can be best friends. That's the shit that's exactly what I'm talking about. Exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's mad Russell Wilson's and Trayvon Diggs out here. So, I mean, you know, if you like it, congratulations. I'm just telling you, Cam, I'm not knocking it.
Yeah.
I'm not just, because listen, don't get it fucked up. I dated females with 4 kids, 5 kids. I know I had a chick with 6 kids.
Yeah, it's not the kids. It's right. Not the kids. It's who they're by. Like,
right.
It's just like if you got a baby by, now I'm not saying Future is this or Bow Wow, but I'm just making names just for conversation. Mm-hmm. If a girl got a baby by Eddie Murphy and she got a baby by Charles Manson, are you going to be the next one to have a baby?
And see, Murder, that's what I'm talking about too,
that's
Murder.
That's a good question.
Murder, that's what I'm talking about too, because those are two great names, and I'm glad you said both them names, because when you say those two names, Eddie Murphy and Charles Manson, right? I gotta immediately take myself out the equation, not because of the celebrity, not because of the celebrity status, because you don't have a type. You're willing to do whatever. You know, I can't do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you got baby, if you got baby Manson and then you got baby Eddie, then you know you got fun there, you got some killing there, you got, you know.
Yeah, you don't got a type. You got no type. You want to do anything. Listen, man, real quick before I let Murder finish up, I'm going to quote something from Pusha T, man. Pusha T said, never fall in love with a girl that loves the camera. She'll turn around on you and fuck the janitor. I like that.
Yeah, okay. Where do you get this from?
Pusha T said that. Right? Yeah, Pusha T, boys. I'm just quoting Pusha T.
The clips. Listen,
yeah, man. So
I wanted to ask this question before we move on.
Yeah.
How many celebrities is too much? Because ladies need to know this, so they will want to know this from us. How many celebs is too much before you're off limits? Is there a number for that?
Let me say this.
It might be two.
It might be two for you. See, that's the thing about it. See, it's so this question, this whole conversation is so broad because it's like, what are you planning on doing? If you fuck four or five niggas as celebrities and I like you, I'll meet you on the low.
No, because I think women need to hear this. You know?
This is true, but see, the problem is this, Mace, and me and T was having this conversation on the way here, right? Now, you got, and this is going back to, to Jalen Green and Drea situation. I'm not here to, pounce on the situation, so to speak, pause. But I was explaining to T, and I'm like, yo, what you got to realize is this, because, you know, it looked like, yo, Jalen Green is bugging. She told, I didn't even know Jalen Green had a tattoo of Drea on his body. She says small, but it's like, yo, you did it, though. You know, big or small, you did it. So what I was explaining to is this, you got to realize he's 22 years old. When you get over 30, or even over 25, I'll say 30, I won't say 25. 8 years is not a long time. So when you're 30 to 38, it's not a long time. 38 to 40, so it's not really a long time. But you have to realize from 14 years old to 22 year old is a big difference, man. It's a big, big difference. You're leaving middle school, going into high school, and now you're at home, have to be home at a certain time, probably have a curfew, and you're watching a girl on TV every day like, yo, if I ever go pro, I'm getting that bitch. I'm getting her. I love her. And by the time you're 22, she's available. And you get her. And your pullout game is weak. Pause. And now you have a baby mama.
That's no excuse, killer. That's no excuse.
No, I'm trying to...
We came out of high school looking at women that we always wanted to date. We both did them.
You know, but... yo, Murder, I totally agree. What I'm trying to do is this, Murder. And listen, it's no excuse, but you know where I'm at right now? Right now where I'm at is, and I'm telling you right now, this moment I'm talking about, not in life, in this moment. Right now, we in the lab, and I got on my science jacket trying to dissect these niggas' brain because I can't figure it out. That's all I'm doing. I totally agree. I can't figure these niggas out.
So if I
give you an answer, it's just me just trying to figure these niggas out.
Yeah, you're right, because I got them niggas in the tank.
Period, man.
How many is too many for you?
For me or Murder?
Oh, both of y'all.
Oh, Murder ain't having it. God, Murder. Murder ain't having it.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. My psyche wouldn't let me do it.
Me?
If she was with one other nigga, it's like, it's like, ever since I grew up, like I used to wear killer sneakers, right? So Ever since I wore other niggas' sneakers, I just can't do that no more, you know? If they're not brand new, I don't like
them. We shared each other's shit. And we shared chicks when we was young, but I dig it. We did that when we was 13 to 14. So, yeah, we did that. Look, for me...
Like she got to be from another walk of life. It can't be like the same... Like the same job like she used to be with Ford. Now she's with
Buick.
The nigga. Yeah, Buick. Yeah, it can't be like that.
Yeah.
Yo, gotta be from a different area. You know what I'm saying? Cause you can't be running into niggas like, oh, word. Yeah. Cause you know what niggas like.
Look, we talked about it yesterday, Mo, real quick before I give you my number. We talked about it yesterday. But same thing, and not to bring it up again, but Jalen Green. You got Swaggy P and Gilbert Arenas talking about it right afterwards. Yeah. You don't want to deal with that. You don't want
to deal with that. Yeah, you're going to play ball and a nigga like, oh, shorty was in the back seat.
Yeah.
Like,
You don't want to deal with that. You don't want to deal with that.
You're running up the hill. You can't even... Y'all training, running up sand hills, and a nigga say something to you, and a nigga like, word, I know you ain't talking. You know what I'm saying? It kind of put a kink in your armor as a king.
Yeah.
I know the old saying, it ain't who hit, it's who hit a better. That might be his mindset.
Yeah, to answer your question, Mo, it is a number, but it ain't about it's more about this for me, kind of what Mace is saying. It ain't about the number, because if I like you, look, this is how I really think with females, right? Because I'm not married, I'm not in a committed relationship like that or nothing like that. So the way I think is this, when niggas, I like to have fun and until I can, and, but if I like you and I want to get committed, I'm doing the due diligence. I'm going to do the research. I'm going to see where you've been, who you've been with. I'm going to see if you're lying. I'm taking your tax, your credit score. I'm doing all that if I like you. If we having fun, whatever, I don't really care. Whatever, we just having fun. But if I like you, I'm going to do some homework. So it varies. So I don't want to say a number. It's about this. Kind of what Mace said. If you doing something with your life and you're doing something, whether it's working, whether it's a celebrity, whether it's a fucking librarian, I don't care. As long as you're doing something successful in with your life, then I think, and they have to be successful, it could be maintaining. I think that's good. I can't fuck with being with a chick and niggas be like, nah, he was so-and-so old joint. I don't lie. Nah. I can't. You know, it's one thing if you could be like, and not to use Stat for an example. I'm just saying, no, that's a little sister. I'm just saying like,
yeah.
Yo, nah, that's Stat from It Is What It Is. Yo, that's Stat. Yeah. Oh, It Is What It Is Stat. Nah, that's Terrence's old girlfriend. You know what I'm saying?
Lord, nut.
Yeah, so that, like, I can't do that. I'm not with that. I'm not being with a joint. Like, yo, you see me with what's the name of a joint? Now, if you say, oh, yo, that's shorty from so-and-so. Yo, she's doing this and doing that. Now, maybe she was Terrence's old girlfriend, but you don't know her from that. You know her from this. I could rock like that. But once niggas only know you from that, I can't rock like that. I can't do it.
Yeah, so you kind of got to switch. You got to switch genres. Like, if you was messing with a nigga playing basketball, then you switch to football, then go to hockey. Don't stay in the same thing. Like, rapper after rapper is going to be bad.
Even sports athlete after sports athlete, murder. You're going to just say that you jumping from athlete to athlete, too. You got to go from athlete to a nigga with a hedge fund. Yeah, a banker. You know what I'm saying? You got to go to that route, murder. That's where I'm at with it. Like, nah, man, I can't be with somebody old joint and niggas be like, that's all you know her from. You know what I'm saying? And that's all you know her from. And another thing is, it's like if you having fun with a chick, like I said, it's different having fun and liking somebody and trying to be with them. Because I like Curb Your Enthusiasm, right? And, you know, it's really dry, sarcastic comedy. And I'm going to leave it on this note because I know we're on this topic for a minute. And I just watched the episode last weekend, and you know, Larry David in real life got like 400 or 500 million, and his friends are all rich. So the scenario on the show that just happened, Murder, right? Let's say it's me and you, right? It's Larry and his man. And he like, yo, man. Yo, I'm like, yo, Murder, I just bagged this bitch from Disney, man. You know what I'm saying? Yo, I think she the writer. She write all the shit at Disney, this, down the third. Yo, nah, I think it's lit. And you like, word, Cam? Yo, that's congratulations. That's what's up. So I go to pick up from work, and I pull up, and she's the mascot at the Disney store. Oh, nah. Oh, nah, B. I didn't know you was Minnie. I thought you was the writer. I thought you was one of the executives. That was on the last episode, nigga, curved up. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of different avenues to this question. I'm done, though.
I just want to add super quick, because I don't know. In the situation, the girl can't really ever win, because you're going to tie most of the time a girl to so-and-so's girlfriend, because it's like, even as a girl attains success, just like we automatically, like, for example, Saweetie, she's still called Quavo's girlfriend, even though she was rapping before she started dating Quavo, and she can't help that. That's just what people recognize her as. So it's like,
I knew once you was going to say that, Stack.
No, you didn't, Mace. No, because listen. Once you reach a certain level where you're in the public eye, automatically people are going to associate you as like, oh, she'd be hanging around him, or she's done this with him. So it's like, a girl can't really do much, because that's going to be the association regardless.
That's not true, Stat, because I was thinking about who would be a young lady that dated multiple stars and is not looked at like that, right?
But also, now, it doesn't even have to be. But that's my point. Like, once you reach a certain level, like, they might not even be dating. They could just be getting to know it. Like, that level, okay. Same way that you guys are going to go out and meet other women. Like, I'm not going to assume, because I seen you with this girl, you're dating this girl and that girl and this girl. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but because it's a girl, it's just like, oh, okay, she's with him or she's doing, like, we don't know. We just see a video and then think like, all right, they definitely got this going on, even though they might not have nothing going on. But by association or by what we've seen, we just assume that. So it's like, it's kind of a lose-lose situation.
I like your take, Stat. I'm going to name one young lady that I saw with different stars, but I don't think of her like that, because a personality doesn't give off that.
Okay.
You understand what I mean?
So yeah, I understand.
She could be with every person she was with, she was really with them.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? That's the difference in what we're trying to convey when it comes to, I guess, the young lady today, I guess. What's the girl name that was with Chris Brown? And then she was with the dude from the Giants.
Carucci,
right? Mm-hmm. I don't look at her like that. Even though she was with two different superstars, it didn't come across like that. Right. It looked like she was genuinely in the relationship.
Right.
That's more so what we're talking about. So I'm thankful that you brought that up, because it allowed us to share light on that.
Right.
Sometimes when you see the woman, you just know what time she on, you know what I'm saying? That's can't a good point.
I like Carucci.
Yeah. You
know what I'm definitely that's like why Carucci. Both start laughing. We know what time it is.
Yeah.
It's like sucker number two. Lollipop season has begun.
Right. No, that's a great point, but I did want to just share that, because I'm just seeing how things can be misconstrued, because certain people aren't even putting out a certain, because at the end of the day, image does matter. Like, people, you know, are going to view people a different way. I get that, because same way we do vice versa. But it's like, when we, you know, say certain statements, I'm just like, I just know how that could sound. I just want to like preface, like, that's not always the case. For some people, I'm not going to lie, it is. It is. Like, we see it. It's not like, we're not dumb. But for a lot of people also, it's not. It's just like how things look. So I just wanted to make that point.
Yeah.
We definitely got to move on, because
I want to say something else now that you said, Sweetie. Could you go buy tickets to a show if she got a show?
Can you go buy tickets?
Because she's a rapper, right?
Yeah.
You go buy tickets, right?
You can go to a Sweetie show.
She got videos, right?
Yeah.
So she has a career.
Yeah.
Whether you think of a Quavo girlfriend or not, she has shit to do.
Right.
Some of these bitches don't got shit to do.
Right.
You just that nigga girlfriend. That's just
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Whether she was rapping before fucking with Quavo, during fucking with Quavo, after fucking with Quavo, you can say that's Quavo girl, but Sweetie gonna be booked.
Right.
Walk through, show, whatever. Some of these bitches don't got shit to do. They just not doing shit. They just was yeah. that nigga girlfriend. So I just want to say that.
Okay. We're definitely like, this is going to have to be a contagious, because those are all really good points. And I love that everybody
yeah,
was able to say
that. Yeah, because there's even more girls. You think of Iggy, is, you could go on and on. It's just basketball yeah. players, rappers. But, you know, we know that she got a rap career and we know that she did have some hit songs out.
Yeah.
So okay. you didn't bring up her name.
Yeah. Okay. Got to get to the rest of sports because can't stand it too long. So, boom, since it's draft time, lots of young guys go through silent struggles transitioning into pro sports because a lot of people who were superstar players kind of become role players once they make it to the league. Do you guys have any sort of advice for those type of players who are used to being, you know, top of the line, top of their class, and then kind of fall into a role and have to get their footing into a professional league?
Yeah, I tell you what, this question really it comes from a personal experience of just a young guy that I know and that I work with in some capacity, right? And it had never, I don't want to say dawned on me, but it was something that I told him because he watches the show, but he had a bunch of success in college. Then he went to the NBA and had to play, be a role player. And he said, man, I don't know how to, I just didn't know how to deal with it. And so life came at him fast and he started getting involved in other shit that he didn't have no business getting involved in. And I said, man, you know what? I'm going to ask these brothers on the show. You know, maybe they have a different response. Like, I'll give my response after, but I don't know if y'all want to go first. And what would you say to somebody who's used to being a superstar, but then they have to fit into a role? And, you know we see it at the professional level a lot, but I didn't know if y'all had any advice for my man or just those type of people in general, because we all know him.
Do you want to go, Killer, or you want me to go first?
You can go ahead. Go.
Yeah, like, to me, I have this saying I tell people, right? Anything you can't do 100%, don't do it with me. Pause. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm into giving your absolute best. If you can't give your absolute best, you shouldn't be doing it. You know, so when you have people that were stars on one level, they could actually be a star on the next level. Is that they have to find the new plateau for that level. You get what I'm saying? Because if they achieved it on one level, they could achieve it again. We're watching it with the New York Knicks, right? A lot of these guys were stars in Villanova. And they're recognizing if we bring that same energy, that same pursuit to this level, because it's real simple. If you want to be the best, you got to be better than everybody else. So if they're doing 10, we're now doing 11, even though we used to do 8 every day. And we find out now niggas is doing 12, we're doing 14 because we want to be better than everybody else. So when they're used to being great on one level, they just have to get around elite players and find out what's the new like level, and then meet that level and then surpass it. They can have success at that level because we watch a lot of players come to the league like that. And some of them, they turn out better later because they started working through that. And I think what's his name? The point guard for the Knicks is a great example of that. He came in. He was a star in college. He struggled a little bit when he first got in the league. And then he turned up with Dallas and then got to New York and went even crazier. Brunson.
Jalen Brunson.
Yep.
What I have to say about it is just not going to be in the cards for everybody.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're elite in high school, junior high school, elementary, so on and so forth. And when you get and what happens is social media is now, it's a little different. And it might be even worse because now you got parents and these AAU places just putting up yeah. your highlights. They're not showing all the bad plays you made during the game and everything else. So you just got a highlight reel on your page of successful shit yeah. that you're doing because it's your page and your parents' page and they're paying for these clips to make you look good. And then when you get to the next level, somebody been waiting on you to bust your ass. I'll give you a great example. And he had a decent NBA career. And I'm talking about this nigga was the biggest sensation in the world coming out of high school in New York City was Felipe Lopez. And when he was that nigga, according to the basketball gods of, you know, AAU and high school basketball at the time. And when he got to St. John's that first year, niggas didn't give a fuck about what you did in high school. And it showed immediately. And then what happened? Because he's supposed to be, he was one of them niggas before Kevin Garnett, supposed to be the Knicks wanted him before he even went to St. John's. Then when you get to St. John's, reality slaps you in the face. You're not a one and done. You're not even a two and done. Matter of fact, you're not a junior. Matter of fact, you got to stay all 4 years. And now you go to the NBA. And luckily, you make it to the NBA. And you're not what you was in high school, but you figure out a way to make a career out of it. I think he played 10, 11 seasons. Same thing with Sebastian Telford. That's my guy and everything else. Yeah. But, you know, coming out of high school, you was a sensation. You took the money. You didn't go to Louisville. And you was supposed to be that guy. But it didn't pan out to be that ultra superstar. Now, I know he had a lot of situations off the court. But considering what he went through, he had a decent career. For somebody who's supposed to be a superstar, sometimes you're just going to have to play a position when you was a superstar, and that's what a professional's being about. Let's think about this, man. As much fun as we make of Patrick Beverley, not just us, people in general, as being one of a defensive prowess, one of the best defenders of this generation, to be totally honest with you. Amazing defender. I know we play around with Pat Paws up here a lot. But think about this. And think about how many people play basketball, or I think it's second after the state of California. The state of Illinois has the second most basketball players right now in the NBA after the state of California. In high school, Patrick Beverley's senior year, listen to what I'm about to tell you, averaged 37.3 points. Yeah. No, he not scored his game high for the season. He averaged 37.3 points, 6 assists and 8 steals a game. I don't think. Listen, if you didn't hear what I said in our audience, listen to what I just said. Go back and rewind it. That is amazing. Ridiculous. That means in high school he's going crazy. But now you just know him for defense, and that's what makes him a great pro, because you got to figure out where your check is going to come from. It ain't going to take me scoring 29 points. I'm going to keep me a check by being a defender, hitting the open three once in a while, and being a nuisance. That's where my money is. And that's what's going to have to happen with a lot of people who want to remain a professional athlete. Everybody that's a superstar in high school is not going to be a superstar on a professional level.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yep. That's true. That's true, too. It's possible for two things to be true at the same time.
Yeah, no, those was great answers, and I'm going to definitely send him the clip. But to both of y'all point, I think the biggest takeaway when you was talking, Cam, is just understanding how to be a professional. That came out of his mouth saying, hey man, I didn't know how to be a professional. I was a lottery pick. I thought when I was going to go to a team, I thought they was going to need me immediately. But the thing that happened was I had to sit behind somebody, and in that space, I didn't know what to do with myself. And then I'm young, I got a bunch of money. And so you self-destruct because you don't know how to navigate that space. And you know, I had a long conversation with him. He's my guy. And in the near future, I'm pretty sure y'all see me around. I just want to make sure he makes his transition right. But it was a big thing. He was like, man, like it was even a lot for me to even hear him admit it himself. Like, I didn't know how that space, I didn't know how to navigate that. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I think he's going to end well. But I think the biggest takeaway is like you defining what a professional is or what does that look like? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I really agree with that. I really even agree with what Cam said. I would tell him to do both, actually. I would tell him to actually really, really focus in on what it takes to be a professional and where you're going to get your check from, as well as outwork everybody. You could do both, actually.
Okay, well, that's all the time we have for today. Maurice, thank you for being here.
Mo, good to see you, man. Also, everybody, make sure your show comes on today.
Tell them. My show comes on today at 3. Make sure you guys stay tuned. We talked about a lot of good stuff.
3 p.m. Eastern. Check it out. 3 p.m. Eastern today.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for watching. And as always, it is what it is.
Stat at 3. Two big necks. Like when they doing